presenting a new exciting radio program featuring the thrilling adventures of an amazing and incredible personality.
Outrageous! Landed together from remote galaxies.
You're listening to episode 149 of the Let's Go Comic Show. We talk about comics, comic book movies, comic TV shows, everything in the world of comics, and then we rate them part of the Let's Go Podcast Network, pop culture without the pop. My name is Justin.
And I'm Matt.
Yeah. And Matt, how do we rate stuff on the Let's Go Podcast shows?
We rate them. We rate those things with the Let's Go things. Rating system.
Yeah.
The best we give is Gotta Go.
Gotta Go, the best.
Below that is a Let's Go.
The namesake.
Below that is a Go.
Not bad.
Below that is a Don't Go.
Yeah, that's bad.
And the worst we give is Trash Juice.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't get in the Trash Juice because then you track it in the house. Especially during COVID time. My wife's like, don't put your shoes in the house. So I had to take them out because there's Trash Juice all over my shoes. Everywhere. Even if I was just wearing some flip-flops in the garage. There's already,
really?
Yeah, can't put those flip-flops in the house.
All right.
There's COVID on them.
There's COVID sandals?
Yep. I got COVID.
COVID flip-flops.
COVID flip-flops. You can get them. Get them at the swap meet. You can get them. I got COVID on them. Already. Pre-COVID-ed. So, anyways.
All right.
man. So, big weekend, huh?
Sure.
Big weekend in comics. Man.
Like, there was a lot of stuff.
I'll tell you. If the stuff that happened at Comic-Con at home this weekend was what Comic-Con was in person. What a terrible Comic-Con.
I feel like it totally would have been different if it was in person.
Yeah, I know it was. I'm just saying, like, oh man, they're everyone's just like holding their own cards, man. Like DC's like, yeah, we got Fandom coming up. We ain't going to Comic-Con. Forget y'all.
Yeah, no, none of the big kind of companies like did much of anything, right?
Not much, man. Not much. So, but you know what? We'll pause on that. We'll get to those things. But Matt, you wanted to talk about a fun little question. So on Twitter, again, Gail Simone always giving us things to talk about on our show.
It's true.
Yeah. This is probably the fourth time.
Great question. Like, right. Question of the day type stuff that she puts out. So yesterday, she tweeted out, name three comic artists whose art just makes you happy. They don't have to be the most technically perfect necessarily. They just bring you joy.
Yeah. Joy. Yeah. Man, okay. So
that's hard to pick like just one, but I'm curious what your list is.
Yeah. We'll do a list. Well, Matt already showed me his list. And when I saw it, I was like, I should have guessed because I actually guessed two of them in my brain. And I knew it was going to be.
I'm pretty predictable.
Yeah. But I want you to go through it still. I want you to like tell why. But I guessed. I knew it was going to be Michael Allred. And I knew it was going to be Francis Manapul. I knew those two for sure. But then,
Really?
That's those are the two. I was like, oh, that's it. But I totally forgot about what's his face?
Chris Samnee.
Chris Samnee. I was like, I forgot. I wasn't thinking about him.
Yeah, when I think like something that brings me joy and that's fun, like for me, I'm just going to go to things that just feel like they're either more playful or more kind of like light. I guess in like the weight of like what you're looking at, if that makes any sense, like kind of like in the lines and stuff like that. Although, I mean, Mike Allred, like his lines are actually pretty heavy most of the time.
But they're simple.
But they're very simple and they're very fun. Like I think of like X-Ray Robot, his most recent one, super fun. When I think of
it's staring at me in my face right now, but nice. It's still in my read bin.
And then also thinking, like, you think Madman, like, anytime you see him. And you think what was the crossover? The Batman 66 and the Legion of Superheroes. Like, I just think of that stuff that's just, like, wacky and fun. And I feel like his art is, like, a visual representation of, like, the B-52s, but, like, in a good way.
Oh, my gosh. That's a great – that's actually a really great – comparison, dude.
Oh, thanks.
That's really great, actually. Yeah,
but I definitely had like a couple other artists I thought of that weren't on that list, and it was kind of hard to choose just because I didn't want to pick three artists that all basically drew the same style, yeah. you know, but I feel like they're all kind of, if you look at those three, they're all kind of in the same ballpark. So Francis Manapul is just one of my favorites, just in general. I'll pretty much check out anything he's drawing. But I think with him, there's a really like a lot of movement. It's pretty dynamic. It's really fun. I think too, like there's something there. And then Chris Samnee is like really classic and almost minimalist in the way like he does it. But again, I think there's just something lighter to it that I think like I'm just happy when I'm reading those things.
Yeah. So I think for me, so I guess does it have to be like this happy thing? Is that what it is? It's like
something that brings you joy.
Happy,
so yeah.
It's happy.
Their art makes you happy. It brings you joy.
Yeah, it's not like Frank Miller doing the Dark Knight.
The most epic, intense, like, cause I would have a different list. You know,
three happy artists. So if I was going to say, like, when I think about it, like, oh, it gives me joy because it kind of makes me laugh and stuff, I would say Adam Hughes. He's really good at faces and stuff. But when I first saw his artwork, it was in, I think it was the late 20s and 30s issues of the Justice League International / Justice League America stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it was in the silly era. So I think about this story where it's like John Jones, Nort, and Kilowog going out, you know, on a night of the town, like that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And like there's just kind of a silliness to it, but it'll still look real. And mm-hmm. So that kind of makes me like, oh yeah, I like that. And then if I was gonna say like of a newer guy, Nick Darrington, I think his art's really great. Like the Batman run he did with Bendis, those like Walmart special, whatever. It's like that thing is really, I think that stuff is really fun. And it kind of in that same vein as like Chris Samnee and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to pick the same as you because I love Mike Allred, man. Like Allred is like one of my favorite. Like when I think of what comics look like, I think of him. But if I'm gonna like put someone else in that kind of list, because I feel like I'm kind of following your like, okay, it's fun and it makes me think of comics, then I'd probably say Doc Shaner.
Yeah, that's such a good choice too, man.
Yeah. Well, I feel like they're all kind of maybe in that same clean lines. It feels light and not in a bad way. It feels like it's just like, oh, this is the fun of comics. And I think that's where my brain's at right now.
Totally.
Those are good picks. That's a great question because you start thinking like, oh man, like the artistry of comics is so vast. You can get into something that's awesome, like Jim Lee, you know, crosshatch heavy, super epic, moody.
Yeah.
Like, I love that too.
Like I would almost think of like, if you want to come up with a list of like the most like emotive, you know what I mean? Artists like, or the best, like, you know what I mean? Like, I think you could talk layouts with different artists and how they use it. Like,
oh
I think
gosh,
there's just really interesting ways to take it. I immediately after I tweeted my list, came up with a secondary three artists just cause I'm like, I just,
who's like, some of your backups?
So Doc Shaner was kind of on my mind, but if I had my other three would be Jorge Jimenez.
Yeah.
Like seeing him draw the Justice League is just like the best.
Yeah.
And Darwin Cook.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There's just something that's just brings me joy. And then what was my third? I did have three. I lost
three backups.
Yeah. I had three backups. Cool.
Yeah. I don't have any backups, but I don't know. I'd probably like maybe throw like another Jorge Fornes on there. Cause he has that has that like very clean, like kind of moody look, and like his Batman issues last year. And then his two Daredevil issues were freaking great too. So
I think, Patrick Gleason could probably be on that list too.
Oh yeah. I just saw his art. I feel bad about Patrick Gleason because I thought he was just like everywhere doing stuff at DC. And as soon as he moved to Marvel, I feel like he's been sporadically on Spider-Man books.
Yeah.
And I know he's going to be on more of them, I guess, the next run of Amazing Spider-Man is going to have, it's going to be, I think, a trade-off with our guy, Rosenberg from Hawkeye. So he's going to be joining Nick Spencer on, I think together they're going to write together Spider-Man. So I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, Otto Schmidt. That was another one I was thinking.
Oh, Otto Schmidt. Just
so fun.
Yeah. Those are good picks, but yeah, but that was like something I heard. I was like, oh yeah, he's going to be on there. Yes.
Nice.
Cause that book needs needs a shot in the arm, dude.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, so We didn't talk about this. Like, we do the pre-show. We're like, hey, we're going to talk about this, this, and this. And I'm like, oh, yeah. So.
And then we always think of stuff once we
get well, you know what? Well, as you're talking about these artists, I'm thinking, as I read that DC, and I reviewed it for the website, the DC Cybernetic Summer Special thing.
Yeah.
Which, you know, when the news came out like a month ago, we like posted about it. And I was like, okay. And I read it because Mike was going to review it. And he's all, hey man, it's so long. He's like, it's like 10 stories. I'm like, oh man, I'm going to read it. And I tore through that book. I read it all in one night.
Oh, that's fun.
And it was so good. It was so good. But like all the artists in there were are in that same vein. Fun, man. Mm-hmm. Every one of them. And it was cool because it was like a showcase of people I haven't seen before.
Totally.
There was a lot of them there. I was like, wait, who's in this book? You know,
yeah.
Some standouts. The person in my favorite story in it was called Summer Bummer. It was a Robot Man story, and the guy who did the art, his name was Greg Smallwood. I'm not sure. Very, very much in the vein of Nick Darrington. You know, like, which is, you know, appropriate since Nick Darrington was the last dude to like work on that book, the Doom Patrol book. But
yeah,
man, like he was really, really good. I really loved it. And then
I really liked the Booster Gold and Blue Beetle story.
Oh yeah, Scott Cobbish did that.
That was so fun.
That was one of my favorites as well. And then the Nicola Scott, like, I mean, she's done a lot of stuff. She's done the stuff like the not Suicide Squad. What was the book she did? She was the artist on the. It's the other kind of Suicide Squad. It's the.
It was Secret Six?
Secret Six. There you go. She was on that. Okay. She does all those cool covers. Like when there's an anniversary, like here's all the 20 versions of Batman or whatever.
Oh, but, yeah. Those are so
that.
Cool.
Yeah. But she drew that. It was like the Wonder Woman Metal Man team up. It was just so good seeing her art. Her art was just so good in that. And then the Superboy story. Nick Varela. I only remember because I was writing stuff down in my thing. But all the artists on this book were great. And it was like, man, sometimes these books are kind of like, you have to sludge through them. I'm telling you, every story in this thing was really fun. I think the Flash one was harder for me to get through. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't out of all the other stories. Like it ends with this crazy cyborg and it's cyborg, it's Superman and it's cyborg Superman all together. And I don't even want to spoil the ending cause it was funny, but like there's this weird, like other version of, there's like another Earth where it's like the cyborg Superman, or no, it's the super cyborg Superman. It's like a combination of all three of them. He's like, I have to deal because I hate my father and I hate, like, he has all the personalities of all three of these characters.
Oh my gosh.
It's just funny, man. And yeah. So, anyways, that whole book, if y'all haven't got it, go get it because it's fun. Like, it made me feel like, it made me feel good, man. It was like a good story. Was this a good comic?
That's so good. What'd you rate it?
Oh, I think I gave it a gotta go because it was just so. There was nothing about it that I was like, this is stupid. It was just fun, man. There's maybe two stories that I didn't like love, but it wasn't like it wasn't bad. Like it had a nice through line. And it kicks off with like this kind of. It's like a. It feels very epic and like gritty art, and it's Batman, but it's like. It sets up this like ridiculous like idea, you know, like that technology has corrupted some things, and you know that's what every story. There's like some type of weird techno cybernetic edge to every story.
But, right.
Yeah. Anyways, really good book, and it was fun. And I want the dude that illustrated and wrote the Batman story, him and another this lady Karina, they wrote it, and I'm like, you guys need to do Batman. His Batman, his name's Gabriel Hardman. He's the one who does the Green Lantern Earth One books, which I'm reviewing. It's coming out next week, but I'm like halfway through it. It's like 100 and something pages, so I'm like working through it. But A, it's a really cool Green Lantern story, and then B, his art's just really good. But
nice,
yeah. Sorry, we didn't talk about that stuff, but it was some good.
No, it's okay. You could just go there. There weren't a lot of books that I like picked up this week as far as floppies go, and so it's. Mm-hmm. It's nice to talk about one of them.
Yeah, it's nice. It's always good to talk about floppies, dude.
Yeah.
So good. And then I read Batman Superman 10 just because I knew that Mike was reviewing it. And I was like, oh, I haven't even taken a peep at this thing. So yeah.
Yeah, and is David Ruiz still on art on that?
No.
Dave Marquez, I mean?
No.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, he's not.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, I don't know who's on it. But it's a crazy story, though, for... yeah, I don't know, what is David Marquez doing, dude? But, like, it's just a crazy story for Mike to jump on for a guy who hasn't read any Batman, Superman, like, of those, that series of books. He's like, oh, I'm just going
to
check this out.
I appreciate that about him, man. Like, he's just game to just jump in.
Yeah, not 80-page giants, apparently. But
no, not that.
He's like, oh, man, I want to check out a DC book and review it this week. I'm like, all right, man, what do you think? And he's like, I don't know. And I was like, you can do this one shot. And he hit me up, no way, dude. So, but then I was like, how about this Batman Superman book? It's not too far in the run, and it feels like it's a new story kicking off. And so, anyways, he dug it, you know.
That's cool.
So, yeah. So it's fun. It was a good week. There's a lot of books that came out this week, just all over. Like, I think we put out like 8 reviews today.
Yeah.
And kind of ran the gamut.
The team's putting in work. I'm grateful for those guys.
Yeah. There was a lot. There was, you know. I feel like Emmett wrote the most reviews. I think he put out 4 reviews. So
Emmett wins this week.
Emmett wins a no prize. So
way to go, man.
Yeah. Thanks.
You're doing it.
Thanks, guys. You're doing the work.
So back to we were talking about news, right? Comic-Con happened this week.
Yeah.
We have Justice Con happened.
Justice Con. Yeah.
Little lesser known, obviously, but still some stuff.
I feel like more people were talking. I feel like more people
way more people were talking about it. And then also Emmy nominations came out yesterday. Yeah. And the Watchmen series on HBO, Damon Lindelof and crew, 26 nominations. Which
there was 26 nominations?
26 nominations. What? Like basically every actor in that show is nominated, it seems like.
No way.
Yeah. So like Jeremy Irons, obviously Regina King.
Yeah.
And what's her face that's been in like, she's been in everything. She's the FBI agent. I can't remember the...
Oh, Silk Spectre?
Yeah. Spoilers. Like, jeez, for Watchmen.
Well,
she's nominated.
Sorry.
That's okay.
It has characters from Watchmen in it.
Have you seen, so spoilers, have you seen the episode that takes place in the past, like the flashback episode?
Yeah.
He's nominated. Like tons of people are nominated. And I think, I mean, you haven't, still haven't quite finished that, but I just want to say.
Yeah, I've got two episodes left.
It's 100% deserved. I think it's the closest to a perfect TV show I've seen in a long time.
Better than The Office?
Yeah. The Office is great.
I'm just kidding. That's all my wife watches.
Yeah, but I just to talk about, I just thought it was fascinating that one, they got that many nods, and then also just
26 nominations. That's crazy.
I just think it's well deserved, and I hope they win all of them.
All of them.
I just think they're great.
And so they're like, we're not going to do another season. So
which I hope FYI. They don't. I think it's great where they end, how they ended it. You're not there yet, but I think just have that one story contained. Like, I'm fine if they don't do anymore. I'm grateful for that.
So, hey, but here's, you know, not too shabby. The Mandalorian got 15 nominations.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's great.
So, which I'm like, wow, okay, nerds. Now, what I'm not happy as I look at this list, freaking Schitt's Creek, which I can't stand that show. My wife watches that show.
Oh, really?
It drives me. Yeah, I don't like it.
It's so funny. You like The Office, but you don't like that?
Yeah, I can't get into it, dude. I'm like, my brain's like, I can't. But anyways, I'm like, come on, Mandalorian better not lose to Schitt's Creek. That's all I'm saying.
And the Good Place had a decent amount of nominations too, which I loved. Wow. I loved that show. I think they had.
I saw a few. I didn't watch all of them.
I think they had maybe like 10 nominations, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, crazy, man.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see what that is, and to have a show that's like, again, just a show that kind of comes out of nowhere. You don't think it really doesn't need to exist. Like, there's not like it was begging for a sequel from the comic book, but
yeah,
they did it, and it's a story that a lot of people have resonated with, and done in a way that's just, it's just masterful. Like, even technically, like just really, really, really well done.
You know, a small thing about these, and I haven't finished the series, but one of the things I really like is the title cards, how they get, how they're like,
yes, incorporated every time.
Into the, yeah, they're incorporated into the actual show.
Yeah. And every transition between scenes, like everything is just like completely dialed in. And that's why I think it's just, I'm fine. And to have something that's like, hey, we're just going to do this one season. We're going to tell our story and we're out. And oh yeah. And by the way, we're going to sweep all these awards.
Yeah. Like, wow.
Yeah. Good, it's pretty cool. I'm excited for him. I might just watch through the season again, just cause it's so dang good.
Well, you'll probably finish before me.
It's pretty likely. Well,
I've only
point.
Got two. I'm like, can we just finish these episodes?
Just to finish it up.
Like, can we just watch The Office today? I'm like, sure. I'm just going to watch The Office.
The Office will be there.
I wonder what's going to happen.
When you get back. Yeah.
Oh, Dwight.
So you said Justice Con was a big deal. What was the reason for that?
Because, it was kind of... the precursor, I guess, to DC fandom. So there was a lot of, it was fan organized. So there's huge props to like fans for getting something like this happen. And it had some key people from like the Snyder Cut movement. So you had Ray Fisher, you had,
Liotta?
Ray Liotta was there.
Crazy. Man, Ray Liotta.
Yes. Ray Liotta came to Justice Con and he was like, I was going to be Superman one time. I was going to be Batman one time. Instead, I did Goodfellas, man. Goodfellas. Terrible. Oh, man. I can't even tell you what the guy's name was, dude. Some dude, the guy who did, and I don't mean it in a disrespectful way. I just can't think of the guy's name. But the guy, the voice actor for who did Darkseid's voice, I guess. He was there.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I feel bad. I don't know his name. And in my brain, I'm like, Ray Porter is his name. There you go. Ray Porter. I was thinking.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So Ray Porter, who, he's an actor. He's done some, he was in Almost Famous. Like he's like one of the guys in the band, but, so he was there and then Zack Snyder was there. That was like the big thing. Like Zack Snyder was there and he said there was going to be something he revealed. And so what he revealed, a lot of people are excited about it. I just wasn't. I was like, oh, okay. He played the deleted scene from the movie from Justice League. That was something he actually shot. And it's when Superman rolls up to Alfred while Alfred's working on a Batmobile.
That was in a trailer, right?
That was not in the trailer.
Part of it was in a trailer.
There was Alfred working on the car, but you don't see
Superman. And talking to him, but you don't see Superman.
Like he was like, I hope, whatever, I hope you show up and go fight the bad guys or whatever he said. But we saw that scene on the deleted scene of Justice League, which was really stupid because you're like, just throw that 1 minute scene in the movie because it's really, it looks great.
Yeah.
But Superman's wearing red and blue. Well, what Zack Snyder revealed was that same scene, but with Superman wearing the black suit. And I think it looked better in color with the red and blue suit, that's all. But people are really excited, and it's the real vision of what Zack Snyder wanted, and like I get that, I'm here for it. Like I want to see that movie, but personally, I just thought it looked better. I don't like the black suit with the cape on it. To me, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that was interesting choice.
Yeah, the black suit always looks better when it's like, without the cape, and it's the regeneration suit. It's not something he's I'm gonna go zip around in this. Like temporary. And it reminds me of the way they did it. It just reminds me of Spider-Man 3, where the symbiote suit he wears.
Like,
it's just black.
It feels like very like that texture.
Well, that, but it just is like, oh, you just made the suit black. You just made the whole suit, black and silver or whatever, instead of it being a different kind of a suit. I'm being a purist here, so forgive me, but like...
But you're going back to the comics, the source material.
Yeah, like that suit was a regeneration suit. It wasn't a Kryptonium like ceremonial suit, especially in these films. That's what those suits are. Like they're the suits that they wear were kind of like, hey, we're exploring, and then these are our diplomat suits when we go to that was kind of the Man of Steel version.
But, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so to me, it doesn't even make sense. So why would he be wearing a black version of that? Again, nitpicky, but I was like, I like it better without the cape. Even though you get the black suit in Man of Steel when Zod's like giving him that nightmare sequence and he's like falling into like the sea of skulls. Like, pretty cool scene. Like, but yeah, Superman suit's black. Like, my kids have an action figure of it. You know, we have the black suit Superman. It's cool.
In the comic, is the shield silver?
Yeah. Yeah, well, in the comic, it's just like a whole bodysuit. I think only the toes have like a weird silver. He's got like,
oh, okay.
He's got silver armbands, because why not?
Yeah. And he's long, got
flowy hair. Like, hey, if you're going to CGI like black on the suit, throw some hair on there too. But,
yeah.
You know,
go the opposite direction. Instead of taking the mustache away, give some extra hair.
Yeah, just do the whole head. Just a giant, like, just cut cousin just it in a Superman suit and give him the mullet. But, yeah, I don't know. What did you think about the black suit?
It's something that's kind of like out of context. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm curious about the movie. I'm not as excited about it as you are, but I'm curious. Like, I'm genuinely curious, and I'm fascinated by everything that's going on around it. Like,
it's 2017 again for me. I'm excited.
But yeah, in that, like, that didn't like move the needle one way or the other for me. I'm like, oh, okay, black suit. Like, I'm curious how that works out, like, in the story. And you know what I mean? Like, it more was like, okay, like, kind of like an acknowledgement for me. I think the same thing, like, the black suit with the black cape, like, it seems like a little extra. And so I'm mm-hmm. curious what the reasoning is for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I want to say it's cool that Zach gets to do, you know, what he wants to do. But then I'm also at this point, I don't know what is like, this was my original thing. And like, hey, I'm just kind of sticking it to it and just saying like, yeah, I want to do this for the fans.
Yeah. And that's fine. And
I'm curious.
Yeah. And that part I'm fine with. If this was his original vision and stuff, I'm just personally, I just like the red and I like Superman in his classic suit, you know, and if he's wearing the black suit, it's because he regenerated because he died, you know, but. You know, because I do feel like when in that scene, Superman's really like, hey, Alfred, how you doing? He's very like, hey, I'm Superman. He's fully like who he is again. He's looking and I'm like, he should be in his red and blue right there. Like black means he's like, oh, he's disorientated. He's trying to get back. He's not at full power.
Right.
You know, like perfect opportunity for him to give Superman a giant laser gun like he had in the comic where he was like fighting cyborg Superman. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, but like, I get it. Like.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. It raised questions for me. That's fine.
Yeah.
Did you see what he said, that something about like when asked about like whether he would use any of the shots from Joss Whedon?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was like, I'd blow it up. Why would he? Like, I feel like that would be like,
yeah.
Why would you use any of that guy's stuff? Yeah. Yeah, it didn't surprise me. And you know what? Good for him. Like, it's your job, dude. It's your project. Why would you take someone else's, like,
yeah,
you know, sloppy beans and throw it in there? You
know? Sloppy beans.
It's sloppy beans, dude. Don't put some sloppy beans on there. Like, we don't want none of them Whedon beans. So, speaking of Whedon, like, what did I say on the show last week? Whedon had like two breakout sessions at Comic-Con. One was more, he was going to be a moderator for what's his name? Nathan Fillion had a panel and Whedon was going to be part of it.
And yeah.
Whedon had a like ask the masters kind of like thing canceled.
And then wasn't the other one going to be like a Zoom call or something?
Yeah. Both. I think everything was a Zoom call, but yeah, got canceled. I don't know why, but he was probably going to he's probably watching Justice Con.
That's probably it.
So I wonder what the viewership was on Justice Con. I didn't look it up. I don't know if they released it. Like compared to like Comic-Con, was it like was it comparable? Was it just a fraction? I don't know. But
well, it seemed like it was more stuff that like people actually wanted to see.
Yeah, no, for
sure. Comic-Con felt like it was just kind of filling the time slots, you know, just with content in general.
Comic-Con was just The Walking Dead. It was like, here's all the Walking Dead shows we have coming out. You know, like it was like there's not a whole bunch to talk about, guys.
Well, you did have the Eisners still. Yes. Even though it was more like, hey, we're just going to announce them instead of doing like a whole ceremony like they usually do. So I'm sure that was probably weird for people to see like they won something on like Twitter or whatever. But it was interesting that most of the Eisner winners this year were almost exclusively indie books.
Yeah,
like there was a lot of representation at all, like from the big kind of.
Well, I would say there was a lot of representation, but like not like nothing that hit the big guys, the big books.
Sorry, that's what I meant from the big guys.
Sorry, yeah, I knew what you're saying. I was doing a play on your words.
There's lots of representation though.
Yeah,
the main one that sticks out to me: best continuing series, Bitterroot, Dave Walker, Chuck Brown, Sanford Green. Which I'm stoked on.
I haven't read it, but you read it all the time. So you're in favor of this decision?
Absolutely in favor. I'm in favor of David Walker and Sanford Green just in general.
Yeah.
Everyone should go back, read Power Man and Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Go get those books, those trades. Well worth your time.
Yeah.
But this story, especially seeing them get to tell like their own story with their own characters kind of in their own way, like I think it's excellent. It's really good and really timely. So
yeah,
it works out.
Yeah.
But best limited series was Little Bird, and you read that, right?
I read one issue, but Cindy reviewed it for the website.
Nice.
And I think actually Emmett reviewed one issue too. But I know she was a wreck every time she read it. So
oh wow.
It emotionally like, you know, touched her. So yeah, that's cool. Everything else though was I can tell you, I haven't heard of a lot of it, man. Like, you know, I've heard of Usagi Yojimbo from Stan Sakai. Like that was like I think it got an award for collection stuff. And then there's like the Crazy Cat stuff, but everything else was very like, off the beaten path, you know, for anything I wrote. A lot of it was like comics, but it was, you know, more like, it looked like, you know, documentary type of comics, you know, they're telling a POV of something and like making comics, you know?
Yeah. And there was a lot of stuff, like there's a lot of IDW Dark Horse Image, like pretty much everything. I thought one thing that also stood out to me was Dave Stewart won Best Coloring.
Yeah.
And among other books. Yeah. He does tons of stuff, but Silver Surfer Black, which was an excellent, excellent book from last year.
Yeah. Yeah, and he does Gideon Falls as well,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah, he's on Gideon Falls. You know, I don't know what else he's on.
Black Hammer,
he's on Black Hammer.
BPRD, Hellboy in the BPRD. Like he's done some Spider-Man stuff, I think, too.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Other than that, like everything else that I saw on the list, I'll have to pull the list up.
One of the few nods to DC like that they won was best writer was Mariko Tamaki, who's been doing a lot of their young adult stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So like Harley Quinn, Breaking Glass, a couple other things. So,
oh, cool.
That's pretty cool.
Well, there you go.
Cool. I think she actually might have just taken over the main Wonder Woman book too.
I think you're right.
Which has freaking Michael Yannon on art, and it looks beautiful.
Yes, and that was the other one I was going to say. I tried to get Mike to read that, and I think he was like, "Oh, I want to check out Batman and Superman right now." And then I started Wonder Woman, and I did not finish it because I was reading the DC Beach Cybernetic Party comic, which was really good.
It's always going to come back to that.
Yeah, I was like, man,
Cybernetic Summer,
dude, Cybernetic Summer. Pitched that. It was awesome.
It could be Love Cybernetic it. Boys of Summer.
Oh my gosh, the Cybernetic Boys of Summer.
That's a song that needs to happen.
That is a song. But you know what? Like at the end, I'm just gonna spoil this story. I don't care. At the end of the Robot Man story, that's kind of what it is. Like he's kind of sad because his buddy Mike is like trying to take him to all these like clubs and stuff, and he just can't hang, he can't have a good summer. You know, because he's not a guy anymore. He's a robot guy.
Yeah.
And then he's outside the club. And then up drives the freaking Metal Men, who are already in another story. They're in that Wonder Woman team-up story. And Cyborg is there. And he rolls up. He's like, what's up? Like, let's hang. You know, like they're like hanging out. And it was so fun. And it was so well done. And you're like, this is cool. But he brings his buddy Mike with him too. Like, come on, Mike, hang out with him. And like, you know, Mike can't partake in all the, you know, the oil drinking and all this other stuff that they're doing, you know, You know? And, but it was a nice, he was like, no, man, I'm glad you had a good time. I want you to have a good summer. And so it was, there was a little heartstrings being pulled. But what I liked was like, oh, I like this dynamic with Robot Man and you know, Cyborg, because Robot Man's a little more of a softy in the comics than he is on the TV show. He's kind of a turd. You know, he's kind of cranky and stuff.
He really is.
You know, he hasn't evolved yet. Like right now, like Robot Man's, you know, he's gruff, but it's like a, I wouldn't even say, I've never really read him as gruff. I've always read him as like, you know, I'm a good guy, but I'm a robot. And
yeah,
you know, I've never really interpreted him that way, but right. It was nice to see him in Cyborg be like, hey, what's up? You like fellow robot guy, you know? And it was just a really funny like dynamic. And so,
yeah.
Yeah, like it obviously was pulling from different, like, you know, representations of all the characters. Because it definitely didn't feel like the Cyborg you read in Justice League, you know, who's a little more serious. It felt like the Teen Titans Go version of Cyborg, you know. It was fun. Yeah. Anyway, it was good. It was a fun story. Sorry for the distraction. It just reminded me of.
You don't need to apologize, dude. It's all good. Yeah.
Hey, it's Let's Go Comics Show. We just talking about comics. Everything in the world of comics right there.
Indeed.
Boom.
Cool. So, did you have anything else?
Nah, nothing based on the Eisners, man. I was just I don't know. I just felt like, man, for a week of Comic-Con, no major news, and it was kind of a
yeah. Bill and Ted's movie is going to be streaming in August.
Yeah, so and so it sounds like New Mutants. They put that scene of the opening scene of New Mutants out, and I was like, okay, it's like, can we get closer to this series?
Please. Can we just get it?
Yeah. So yeah, I just felt like it was a very uneventful like Comic-Con. So I'm looking forward to the DC fandom, and I'm hoping to hear some stuff from Marvel too. Like we didn't get a whole bunch from Marvel. So
yeah,
you know, there's been a few like, ooh, people changing books and stuff, but like nothing.
Not a lot of stuff. It seems like everyone's kind of holding their cards for their own kind of events. Yeah.
So I wonder what Marvel's going to do. Like, are they going to, they don't really do comic stuff at D23, you know?
True.
And so
I mean, yeah, but like, what if they start? If Feige is over all of that stuff now, technically.
Yeah. Could be good. It could be good for them to throw comics at D23, to be honest.
Yeah. And when is D23 usually? Is that the fall?
I don't remember, dude. I can't tell you. Not because I don't want to tell you. I just can't. Because I don't know. Sorry, Matt. I can't tell you.
Stop.
I'll have to kill you. Yeah. So yeah, nothing major, man. It's kind of a
wah,
panel. Wah. The boys season 2's coming, but they already renewed season 3. So they already said, hey, we're gonna make a season 3. So how about that? So that's kind of cool. Like, so there was like little things, like there's a Nick Frost Simon Pegg thing coming. Did you see the trailer for Truth Seekers?
No.
Oh, you'd like that, dude. You'd like that. Oh, so
check it out.
Yeah, so there is some stuff coming, but it wasn't major. Wasn't a lot of major news. Fear of the Walking Dead season 6. Walking Dead. Charlize Theron was talking about. Oh, and I want to watch her show on on Netflix. It's off. It's based on that Image comic. So wanted to check that out. You know, but yeah, dude, just not a whole lot. A lot of rumors. There's that rumor of Young Londo being a part of a Star Wars on Disney Plus.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So there, I mean, there's some of that, but just little snippets, not a lot of big snippets though.
Yeah. Usually there's like giant stuff, you know?
Yeah. There's nothing that was like, you gotta be kidding me.
Maybe we're just saving it all for a fandom.
Next month, so, dude. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I think that's it, dude. I don't think there's anything major to talk about. And until tomorrow, a giant bomb drops. It's all Val Kilmer's coming back. That's Batman.
Of course.
As well. It's a Batman. It's a Batman movie with the Flash in it, kind of. I don't know, dude.
It's actually a Batman and Superman movie now.
Yeah, surprise! You know, Flash is like, see ya. It's not called Flashback. It's called Batback. Or whatever. Flashpoint's Batpoint. Okay, I've lost it, dude. All right. So, yeah. All right, man.
I think that's our show.
That's our show today, guys. Stay tuned. Next week is going to be kind of a milestone, dude. It's going to be our 150th. Remember we did our live 100th episode?
Oh, man, that seems like 10 years ago.
It does seem like 10 years ago, but it was not. It was less than a year ago.
Man. So, yep, I remember flies. That. It was good times.
Good times. I'm sure
we will not do the same kind of thing for 150, but we'll figure out something fun.
Man, but for 200, I wonder if that'll be almost a year from now, right? 52 weeks. Unless we double up on some. So next summer.
We'll be
doing something somewhere.
Hopefully 2021 we can record together and maybe have other people record with us. It'll be
in a live place.
in a place together.
Where people can stare.
Yeah.
Where we can touch. Okay. Matt, how can people see you or find you? Find your funny lists that you and Gail Simone,
me and Gail just,
talk on
just shoot the crap. Like we're just kind of just hanging out. You can find me on Twitter at Matt Ritchie.
Ooh, you can find me on Twitter at J_Rocker. You can find the show at Let's Go Comic Show on Instagram and Twitter, or you can go visit our website at www.letsgopodcast.com, where you can find this show and the Let's Go Podcast and all of our crazy reviews.
And
every Wednesday and Tuesday, because DC puts comics on Tuesday. So sometimes we'll put reviews out on Tuesday.
Woo.
You know, like John, like he reviewed Plunge. So we put that on yesterday, put it out there.
Nice.
Even Wednesdays, we're putting Harley Quinn because those 99-cent books are coming out. And so
we got
reviewing those.
We got Strange Adventures next week.
Oh, dang. Strange Adventures is next week already?
Yeah.
Dang. I'm that made me excited, dude.
Oh, man. I'm so excited.
That means we get it on Friday.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, man. I got all excited now. Like that's cool.
When I used to climb the rope in gym class.
Yeah. All right. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So, go to the website. Check out our reviews and everything like that. We got movie reviews as well. There's not a lot of movies coming out, but, So Nico reviewed The Rental. It's like Dave Franco's directorial debut. He wrote that. And so he said it was pretty good. It's like a horror thriller-like film. So if you're into that stuff, go check that out.
Boom.
And then on Fridays, Pud's reviewing beer. And he's pairing it with a movie, maybe. Maybe a comic book. A TV show, possibly. He did all the Lord of the Rings films a couple weeks ago. Paired him with a tasty beer. So, go check those out on Friday. So go check out the website. There's always stuff on there, guys. Be great for you to do that. And then leave us a review with comments on the iTunes podcast store. That'd be great. Just do it, and then we'll surprise you with something. How about that?
Indeed.
Yeah. Suck it. All right. That being said, I don't know why I said that. I've been thinking about WWF a lot lately.
Triple H? Why are you here, Triple H?
Why is Triple H here? I got two words for you. And the Road Dogg. And
I got two words Billy for Gunn you. Came out. I got two words for you, Justin. Let's go.
What? Let's go. Oh, let's go. All right. That being said, my name is Justin.
I'm Matt.
Let's go.
Let's go.